it's great to be with you tonight. We'd like to, excuse me, we'd like to welcome all of those who are with us for the first time, especially those who are recipients of the Ogmandino Coaching Scholarship. We have, I believe, 10 or 12 of them with us this evening. We welcome you. As part of your coaching program, you're going to be invited to attend these weekly calls, and feel free to participate. I will occasionally put everybody on mute, and when I do, I'll do it in such a way that all you need to do is press star 6 to come off of mute to make comments, so we encourage you to participate as we go through this process. Thank you for being here. This call is being recorded. And being recorded, it'll be available on the website in the My Tools section of your Intentional Creation website. Should be up in about 24 hours. So enjoy this evening and go back and visit it often. Excited to have all of you with us this evening. There are many things that are on my mind that I'd like to share with you. I'd like to start by announcing that starting next Tuesday night, we're going to approach this call a little differently. We are going to spend one Tuesday night on each of the six qualities of an intentional creator. So starting next Tuesday night, you will not want to miss this. We're going to start with connecting with people, intrinsic validation. We will work through mastering our thought processes, then into staying present in the now with discipline and structure, finding joy in the journey, and lastly, self-esteem. We feel that it would be very helpful for those who own the tools, who are on this call. We want to use these calls to assist you in more effectively using these tools to move your life forward. This has been a sobering week already. I've had the occasion to visit with a number of people that are having real challenges, ones that test their courage to the limit. Some of them are with us on the call tonight. We want to thank you for your courage and for your example. This evening, I would like to talk about just a couple of things, and I want to open this up to you to address your concerns or questions, anything that we might be able to do to be of service to you in preparation for next week as we begin going into intentional creation and connecting with people. Had an interesting experience today. I was in a coaching session, and we were talking about mastering our thought processes, and that the majority of people have thought processes that are very obsessive, very visual, very vivid, and that the majority of us use those thought processes destructively, naturally. It's a proclivity, is the word, which would be a natural negative tendency. When something goes wrong or something that's unexpected that interrupts an expectation, we go into worst-case scenarios and start playing out all of this negative stuff. I was in a wonderful coaching call with just a brilliant young guy that I just love. We've been friends for a long time and watching him take this on. And he said, gosh, Dave, is there any hope? Is there any hope that someday I might be able to master these thought processes like you have? I hope you're chuckling, because I was. Not chuckling because it was funny, ha-ha, because it was sobering. Because just before that call, I had run to the restroom, and I was coming back in, and there was a sticky note on my door that instructed me to call my banker at Wells Fargo. Well, I'm trying to think, well, she only needs 5 minutes, and I'm thinking, why would she want me to call her? I can't think of anything other than, where did my thoughts go? Well, we're working on all of our merchant accounts for credit card processing for the alcohol program, and they need to be rather substantial, and we're making some changes in that area. And I'm thinking, do we have a problem? Do we have a problem? Well, I'm stepping into this coaching session, and I'm picking up the telephone, and I am sitting there with my left hand going like a tomahawk, not going there today, not going there, trying to think very quickly of two or three positive things that she could want, two or three positive things. What is it that a banker might want from you that isn't bad news in today's economy? Well, we were sitting there in that conversation. and I paused then and I pause now to tell you of the struggle I was having staying present. I almost said to my client, let me just hang up for a minute, call her, and get this off my mind. And I thought, no, this is a great exercise because my obligation is to be totally present with this person. And can I practice what I preach and turn this off? I went, well, I'm going to do my best. Talking about it seemed to work. But I want you to know, and please, I share this with you from the bottom of my soul, that we are all working on these principles. We are all works in progress. We all have good days, and we all have days that are extremely challenging. The secret is to be as conscious as we can be, as often as we can be, to create the very best outcome possible. Well, we finished the call, had a great session, called the bank, and I said, so what good news do you have for me? She says, well, I thought, oh, no. And it turned out to be nothing. Ramona had written out a check that morning. It had not been covered in her personal account. They wanted to call, let me know. And then she said, and by the way, I just noticed that she just covered it, so don't worry about that. And then we had the most delightful conversation about the other things we're working on with Wells Fargo in preparation for this alcohol program. And it turned out to be a very positive experience. And I thought, you know, how often do we go into these thought processes because we have been stung maybe once before? And being stung, we feel we need to be prepared for every possible left cross or punch that can come. And we waste so much valuable time obsessively thinking about things, as Og says, tormenting ourselves over things that may never come to pass. I know that I have, and I know that occasionally I still do. So we're going to take these six qualities on starting next Monday night, starting with connecting with people and work through them in sequence so that you can pull out your audio recordings and listen to them in preparation for next week. I want you to listen to Connecting with People, Walls of Resistance. When you click on that now, when you go into the My Tools section, you click on Six Qualities, the middle column, click on Connecting with People, and the index now expands. You can click on Walls of Resistance, and that's all that shows up on the right-hand side. It's really cool. Then you can click on Awakening Empathy Intuition. See how that shows up. And then intrinsic validation, and then partnership. This will be an opportunity for us to go through those segments next week. So please, if you've listened to them, take an opportunity to re-listen again. You can download them to an MP3 player. You can burn them to a CD, so long as it's for your ears only. We're trusting you with this proprietary property. We ask you to honor it. We have priced it at such an affordable price that anybody should be able to get it if they truly want to take on their lives. Say, all of you have, and others can, so please protect it in preparation for this. Now, I want to also recommend that you go back this week in preparation for this next 6 weeks and reread a little book called As a Man Thinketh. Now, this book is not very long. It's only about 65 pages long, but one of the most profound books ever written on the topic of thought. He says in this book on page 23, blessedness, not material possessions, is the measure of right thought. Wretchedness, not lack of material possessions, is the measure of wrong thought. A man may be cursed and rich. A man may be blessed and poor. Blessedness and riches are only joined together when the riches are rightly and poor man only descends into wretchedness when he regards his lot as a burden unjustly imposed. A man only begins to be a man. And this was written back when there wasn't political correctness, so ladies, please don't be offended. A person will only be a person when he ceases to whine and revile and commences to search for the hidden justice that regulates his life. And as he adapts his mind to the regulating factor, he ceases to accuse others as the cause of his condition and builds himself up in strong and noble thoughts, ceases to kick against circumstances, but begins to use them as aids to his more rapid progress and as a means of discovering the hidden powers and possibilities within himself. You've heard this quote from us before, and I'll end with this one as far as this book. Let a man radically alter his thoughts, and he will be astonished at the rapid transformation it will affect in the material conditions of his life. I turned to this book because my coach in my session with him this morning, Kevin Hall, quoted this book. He pulled it out, encouraged me to go back to it and reread it. And during the breaks today, I've had just a few. I tried to pick it up when I got home tonight in preparation for a call. I went back through and read all the segments that I had marked. Some of these are amazing thoughts to remind me, because early this morning, I was struggling with a decision that needed to be handled. And we can just be overcome by a circumstance and not see clearly. And he reminded me. Isn't it wonderful to have a coach to remind me to greet this day with love in my heart? To make sure that everything I do is with love in communication with this particular person. That they know that I love them. Because as he said, love will melt all hearts like unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. We all have challenges. We all have struggles. To say that one is more difficult than another would not be appropriate because it's all relative. Whatever it is for us, that is a tough one. However, it is absolutely true because as I shifted my thoughts in the coaching session and the email communication I had today, I knew that person knew because I truly do love this person. They knew. And they knew clearly what it was that needed to be accomplished and why. No venom, no frustration. Now, I wrote an email to this person yesterday and chose to sleep on it. How often do we write them, send them, and then wish we could take them back? There's no harm in writing it so long as we don't send it. Because sometimes we need to process a little bit. Let us process. Let us let go. And then let us move forward. Now, I'm here for you tonight. My heart has really been tenderized, if you will, in the last few days. We decided to gather our coaches together at the office and see who would like to participate in providing some free coaching for people who are in trouble financially. And so we made an offer last week, wanting to make that available to 30 people. We've had five more coaches join us willing to coach with two people each. So we're at 40 people that we're going to offer this to. The only requirement is they need to own the tools. It's like a scholarship at college. You still need to buy the books. We need to have the tools to be able to do the coaching. I share that with you. So if anybody's on this phone who's been with us, who owns these tools, who would like to spend 8 weeks with a coach and 8 coaching sessions, please call the office tomorrow morning and let Chase and Megan know that. The office number is 801-294-7694. It's going to turn out to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $120,000 of coaching that we're going to give away. We just felt really impressed that there were several people in our Og Mandino database and our team of people that join us on these calls and other places that are just in trouble. And I made a promise early on, as I've shared many times, that if I could get out of the mess I was in, I would spend the rest of my life helping other people get out of it. And so in this season, this week, right now, we're doing this. We're identifying those 40 people that we can serve in hopes that we can create something magnificent in their life. And as a result, they can then take that out to the world and create something magnificent in other people's lives. Wouldn't that be a fun thing to do? Well, that's what we're going to do. So if there's anybody on this call who is not participating in that or did not request, let us know. We had 294 people request that. It was sobering. Took the time. They've sent me a number of the stories. Some of you on the phone who I know are now in the program, all of you sent your stories, and they were heartrending to hear what some people are going through and the challenges they're facing, what they're trying to overcome. Thank you for taking the time. Those of you who are with us tonight who participated in that, if you didn't and you still have that email, you might want to fill it out and send it to us and then just let Megan or Chase know that you did so that you can take advantage of this offer. It is an absolute, genuine, real deal offer from some amazing coaches who want to give back. We've done well at the Augmandino Group, and these coaches are amazing people, and they, too, want to give back. So let us serve you in blessing your lives so that you can bless the lives of your family. Now, let's open this up for discussion. It's still off of mute, so you should be able to just come on the line and say, "Hi, Dave, I'm here," and if I don't hear you, press star 6. Is there anyone with something on their heart tonight? Something they would like to address in terms of their business, a question that we might explore together to bless the lives of others who are listening on this call. Is there anyone that would like to share this evening? Is anybody wondering if what they're struggling with is unique to them, or a question they have might be only for them? I would assure you that that would not be the case. I would invite you, have the courage to step forward and share, please. We might have a very short call tonight.
Is this only for a business issue?
Hi. Personal, business, whatever you would like to discuss.
Okay. This is Cynthia.
Hi.
Hi. Well, mine isn't about business. It's about my daughter.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, she has alcohol and substance abuse issues. And so you and I have chatted, but she disappeared again for 11 days. I didn't have any communication with her after a series of emails, or text messages, rather, that said, you know, "I'm dying, my heart rate is racing, I need help, can you," but I didn't know where she was. I didn't even know what city she was in. And I went through the whole, catastrophizing, fantasizing, and, you know, trying to get a grip on myself, mine.
<Yeah.
laughs> And it hasn't been easy, but it has been a process. And Saturday was her birthday, and I sent her a text message, and I never heard from her. And, you know, that was tough. She turned 24. And, you know, I just kept thinking that I can't let my mind get crazy over something I really can't control.
Yes.
And that I need to trust in some power greater than myself. And so, you know, it was a daily struggle. It was a daily exercise in catching my patterns and just saying, you know, that doesn't serve me, and it really doesn't serve her, and it's not moving positively in any aspect of my life. And I enlisted the help of, I finally found out that what city she was in, and enlisted the help of someone I knew there who knew her, and struck out. And just coincidentally, this person grew up in Santiago, Chile. So after the earthquake happened, many things transpired for him that related to his family, and he has a missing uncle and different things. And so I really struggled to find a positive mental practice. And today my daughter called me.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, after I started to wonder, should I check the morgues, or because I just didn't know what was going on. And, you know, it's still a work in progress. She was in the hospital again, but it's more about trying to take hold of my own pattern and recognize where despair doesn't lead me anywhere positive, and doesn't make me help anybody. So, anyway, I just thank you for that. I mean, this work is really rich and powerful, and I'm grateful.
And so are you, Cynthia. I'm going to look forward to our conversation tomorrow and getting more details about how she's doing and what's happening. You know, it's interesting when we sit back and we wonder if what we're experiencing will serve others. I wonder, Cynthia, how many people are on this call who have something happening in their life that is swamping them, and they're just having a hard time getting on top of it. They're just overwhelmed, because in your situation, you had every reason to go worst case.
Yep.
You haven't had too many positive ones. Almost everyone was worst case.
Yes.
As it relates to... Go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I just fine. Go ahead, please.
No, I just, it has been worst case. I mean, she's almost died, literally, more than once, so it's scary. But I'm... there's a guy in the company I work with who likes to say, all distractions are the same and nobody cares about your problems. Now, as cold as that sounds, there's an element of truth in it. And if I let it ruin my life, then two people go down.
Yes. Let's explore this for a moment, because I know you would be willing to, and we will tomorrow in your coaching session. But for the benefit of all those who are listening who are in this kind of a moment, let's explore some principles. You mentioned one. I talk about Lon in the recordings, where he's talking to a woman whose husband just committed suicide 10 days earlier, and she's pouring her heart out to him, and he said, well, I've got some advice for you. It's tough to take. And he said, you know, nobody cares. It's not that he didn't care. Is the point that everybody is focused on their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't, most people don't have time to really be present for us. And when we're stuck, and we can be so easily stuck with financial issues, for an example, some on the call may be struggling with a mortgage or a car or maybe a child, maybe a spouse or companion, a lot of those kinds of difficulties. We can get to a point where we're so swamped we can't dig out of it. You tell this story to me, Cynthia, and I'm embarrassed where I was this morning. Embarrassed. Because I had no business being swamped over the issue I was swamped over. But the truth of the matter is this, for all those listening, this is a... I was talking to a coach last week who shared an experience with me, and Cynthia, I would share this with you tonight, and maybe we could talk more about it tomorrow, that was deeply moving. This was a new coach who had just read an assessment, an intentional creation assessment, and she's a very intuitive coach, powerful woman. and she's reading this assessment, and she's getting these intuitive impressions to ask certain questions. She has knowledge about the math. She understands what it all means, and so that plus her intuition, she starts going deeper into this person's world, and this person willingly goes there and explores, and she has a deep, rich experience with another human being. Just precious. She felt so whole and so complete and so warm and joyful after this experience. And Cynthia, she said she went home, and she has two small children, and within a couple of hours, she was just swamped, you know, like the tsunami of reality sweeps over us, and we're just twirling in the water, gasping for breath, unable to get out of our own surf, so to speak. Ah, and she wrote me an email and said, is there something wrong? What's wrong here? What's happening? And I had an inspired moment that I wanted to share with her, and I'll share it with you tonight. I called her and we talked. And I said, here's the truth. It's nearly impossible to get out of our own way to serve ourselves. It's nearly impossible. That if we're constantly trying to shut off our mind so that we can have peace of mind, it's a little bit like that arcade game where the monkey heads keep popping up and you keep knocking them down with a mallet. Bang, 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 bang. It just keeps popping up in another place. And it's just driving us crazy. We can't shut it off so that we can just be at peace with ourselves. Now, you can meditate and get better at it, but I know some really powerful people who have had circumstances occur in the last few months who got so swamped they could hardly breathe. It almost choked them, the circumstances they experienced. Sometimes life throws one of those things at us. And what I said to Therese was this. I'm going to apply it to coaching, and I'm going to apply it to you, all of you, as people. I said, the beautiful thing about a coaching experience like this is that you are so fully present with another person that you forget your own baggage. You let it go. Your own baggage, your own agenda. You're really present for them. And when we're that present for someone, and Cynthia, you mentioned a moment ago that power greater than ourselves. Oh, I like to call that power God. His mission, or that being's mission, is to bring abundance to the lives of people, and all of a sudden we're in partnership with him. And something happens that can only happen when we're doing this, when we're in service to another person. We have a little spark of divinity that wakes up inside of us. It's as if God sends a little laser beam down to that diamond inside of us, and the light refracts and just fills us up for a moment. And here's the key. For just a moment, we remember who we are. We get to feel our genius, our greatness, our divine nature, our divine capital. We get to feel who we are for just a moment. Well, next week we'll talk about intrinsic validation, but know as we talk about this, the reason why we serve people as a coach is to help that person take down their walls of resistance and to feel safe and to take their life on with courage. It's the exact same reason why we intrinsically validate, why we step into a person's world, leaving our baggage and agenda at the door. It's no different. It's not a formal coaching session. It's not a conversation for which we may be compensated. It is the purest form of this exercise of leaving our baggage and agenda at the door, stepping into a person's world, showing up for them, creating a safe place, knowing that their walls will come down, their cooperation will flood out, all of that will happen. But spiritually, almost magically, that divinity inside of us will wake up. We will remember for a moment who we really are, free of all of these sabotaging thought processes. It is glorious to live free of them. Some people go to like Psi seminars or Impact, or there's several of those kinds of trainings. and they love them because in those trainings in a weekend, somebody can get you to that place where you're free of them. Intrinsic validation. We get to repeat over and over again in reality where we can have those kinds of moments where we can feel. You can do this sometimes in a spiritual setting, in a church, when you're in worship. We get to feel and remember who we are. The key, oddly enough, when we are feeling this kind of pain, the answer is yes, to get out of this dark pit. But we can't shut it off. We must simply redirect the energy. And when we redirect the energy that's been poured into catastrophizing and worst-case scenarios, and when you're in a situation like Cynthia's, this is extremely hard to do. It's Herculean, because she has every reason to be there. 24 years of history, well, at least 8 years of history now, 6 years at least, since her daughter was 17, 18 years of age. Every reason to go there. And yet she can pull herself out of this, redirect this energy into one of 5 constructive ways. We'll talk about this in 3 weeks. How to mentally rehearse, seek inspiration, exploration, planning, goal setting, problem solving. Because when we do that with the intent of blessing another person's life, our very busy mind becomes congruent with our heart. And that same power we're talking about can give us an inspired idea, impression, or solution to a problem. And that can help us remember who we are. We can feel that. We step into someone's world, we can feel that. And there is peace. And it's the only way we get this peace. There's a peace that comes that surpasses all understanding when we finally remember who we are. There is a faith that is established. There is a comfort that comes. Equanimity, Og called it. Peace of mind. Peace of mind that comes. And the source is, or should say, the process is when we focus that energy in the service of another person. And what's beautiful about those of you who are struggling, I had a really tender conversation with a powerful man yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Boy, the days kind of meld together. So many wonderful experiences. It was this week, where this person was working with teenagers in a church setting, in a youth group. And I thought about his life and all the things he'd struggled with. He'd shared them with me in detail. Just a brave soul. And I thought, oh my goodness, what a gift to be responsible for youth, seeking inspiration of how you could bless their lives when you're not afraid to hear the possibilities of what they might be struggling with. Because you've had some of those challenges in your life, you know what it feels like, and you're not afraid to go there. There are some who've never had it, or who are afraid to even go there. Cynthia, with you, I wonder how many mothers and fathers have troubled children, and how you could reach out to them in their hour of need, and in so doing, find that moment where that power can remind you of who you are, and you can remember and feel that peace that can sustain you. Because the truth of the matter is, some of these circumstances we have little or no control over. They will play themselves out. And even God relies on a principle called free will. And a person can choose what they do. We may not be able to control that. What we can control is how we show up. And the best way to show up healthy is using our experience to reach out and serve another. We bless them. Yes, absolutely. But we receive a spark that is so precious. Bill W. talked about this in the Big Book. you remember this when I shared it with you a couple weeks ago, when he said, however inadequate, our conception of this power was sufficient to make the approach and effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed with a new sense of power and direction. He's describing this process. We begin to remember who we are. Even someone who is mired in alcohol addiction, provided we took other simple steps, we found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. And we know that the very best way for this peace to happen, for this to start to grow inside of us, this wonderful experience that he talked about, we start focusing on the service of others. Cynthia, thank you for sharing. You are one brave mother. For those of you who are listening, Cynthia took her daughter in at 23, who had been suffering from some real serious mental challenges and severe alcoholism, brought her into her home again, covered the expenses, helped find a place for her to go where her life might be blessed. She needed serious intervention. They found a place in Florida where a person could go for 3 years. It was run by the Catholic Church. But a very powerful place for a person to have the solitude to get through this kind of an addiction. She flew at her expense, her daughter and her, to Florida. They did all the extensive interviews, came back, helped get all the medical records together, went through weeks of struggle. There were the unselfishness with which this mother has shown up for her daughter. And the night before they are to leave, on a plane for which they've already bought the tickets, she disappeared. That's what she was saying a minute ago. Gone for 11 days. Didn't know where she was. Didn't know if she's alive or dead, other than a couple of minor communications about the seriousness of her health. Oh, Cynthia, you must have been relieved to hear from her today, just to hear her and know she's alive. A mother's love. There's just nothing like it. A mother's love, and bless your heart. And those of you who are on the phone who are people who would pray, would you put Cynthia in your prayers tonight? Would you ask God to send some ministering angels to just be with her and comfort her, to buoy her up? Some of these circumstances are so difficult. As I share, the idea of serving another can almost be trite because we can be so paralyzed. May we also put our challenges in perspective. Oh, so we're a little late on a loan payment. Oof. Let us be taught well by Cynthia tonight. Thank you, Cynthia.
Well, thank you. That's kind of you. But if you are praying, then pray for my daughter.
We shall. We shall, and thank you. Thank you, absolutely. As you're praying for Cynthia, let's pray. May we mention her by name? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Her name is Molly. Pray for Molly and for Cynthia in this circumstance. Again, we cannot circumvent free will. But we can certainly call on angels to show up in people's lives. I know of what I speak when I say to have a child who has wandered, and to have someone come in their life who serves them and brings them back. Oh, the love of a mother. Bless your heart, Cynthia. We will pray for both you and for Molly. Whew. Deep breath, everybody. Is there anything else that you'd like to say about that, Cynthia?
I appreciate, you know, your kindness and support, and just really this work is transforming. You know, these are things that I've met them lots of self-help and spiritual work and personal growth and all those sorts of things for many years. And there's something about this that gets at another level of how to change and how to evolve and become a better person. And I'm just really grateful. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to share this evening?
Dave?
Yes.
It's Eileen.
Hi, Eileen. Our other angel on the phone.
I just, you know, something I told you earlier tonight, I just want to share that because you say, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path. Well, you know, my husband is always here for me to serve. But what I discovered is that as I do that, I'm able to have a more tender feeling towards others who I serve along the way, other patients and their families. And you talked about that spark of divinity. I believe that's what's coming forth. It's developing in me. Becoming stronger, and it feels good. That's a good part of it. It's a rewarding part. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
I shared last week Eileen's husband has suffered a stroke, and it's a fairly serious condition, and Eileen's also a nurse and working her network marketing business, just quite a full load. And if we'd like to pray, let's pray. Let's pray for Eileen and her sweet husband that especially Eileen, that she'll be blessed with strength, because this is a very taxing time physically and emotionally. Thanks, Eileen. And I love that when you shared it earlier today, that when she's a nurse in a hospital, she's going to her patients and she's finding herself taking just a few extra moments, being just a little extra kind. What a gift to give a patient in a hospital. What a gift. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone else who would like to share this evening? Is there anybody who's listened who said, I think I'll keep my challenges? Well, we'd like to thank everybody for being with us tonight. Let us take this work seriously. It is earth-changing. If we can, as Og says in Scroll 2, build bridges so that our love can enter their soul, as we do as Eileen does when we're stepping into our patient's world or our client's world or our family's world or our children or spouses or companions, let us be just a little bit more kind. Let us be a little bit more present. Let us listen with a little bit more intention. And as we serve them, just know that you will have that spark light inside you, and you will remember more of who you really are. That's what we want to see. That's what you'll want to see. That person is very attractive. That person, that's the person. That's where the joy comes. That's where the peace comes, when that person is in charge of our lives. May we do that more frequently. Now, again, in preparation for next week, I want you to listen to Connecting with People. We'll spend the hour. I'll be teaching you more information about connecting with people and intrinsic validation so that you can put these principles into practice. But know that we can teach principles as you're listening this week. We've broken like intrinsic validation into 7 specific steps. These steps are important to understand. But most importantly, it's just noticing another human being and seeing them and caring enough about them to be a safe person, creating a safe place. I'll walk through how to do that. But that's really the whole purpose, a safe place. so that a person's walls can come down and they can know that we know where they are. We didn't try to fix them. We didn't try to judge them. We're safe. And when the wall comes down, we can then have conversations without walls. Oh, what a great way to live. Well, thanks, everybody, and have a great week. Study this. Be prepared for next week. For the next 6 weeks, we are going to take on intentional creation and the six qualities of an intentional creator. Before we sign off, is there any other questions or comments for this evening?
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Can you hear me? This is Delph.
Hi, Delph. How are you?
How are you?
I sent you a tenant tonight.
I got the call. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I was just, I guess I was responding to your last comment, and just wanted to say that, well, you know the struggles that we've had with some of the issues going on financially, and listening to the call tonight and also going through what we've been struggling with, the possible issues going on with Gabriella's health, have really put things in perspective. And none of the things that I've been spending so much of my time and effort on over the last year amount to anything compared to possible illness with the child or struggles with the child or a loved one. And so I just wanted to, I guess, for me, it put it in perspective what's been going on recently with some of the issues that I've faced. And the money issues, while they certainly seem big and huge and overwhelming and real, they don't amount to anything when it relates to the value of a human life or a loved one.
Well, you had to just be absolutely thrilled today when you got the news.
We did, yeah. We were thrilled.
Yeah. So were Ramona and me.
Yeah.
Yes. That was such a relief. And like Therese said, she used the phrase, it's just going to pop. Which means it was going to turn out to be nothing that serious, which is a great way to approach things. Hard to do when it's a child. Thanks for sharing that, Delph. And hopefully tonight there will be some on the phone who are in the middle of a financial challenge who might put that in perspective. Delph and his wife, Therese, had a child who had a potentially very serious illness and has gone through a battery of tests and have very patiently waited several days to get the results, and got them today and got the email, and a huge sigh of relief. But as you said, Delph, it surely puts life into perspective on what really matters most. Yeah. So how are you doing? You doing okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was a little nervous there, but, you know, well, you do know, over the last year and a half or so, I've spent so much time and effort worrying and fretting and trying to figure out ways to address our financial situation, and it's still going on. And even today, I was late getting on the call because I was dealing with a bank issue. But all that stuff, it feels so overwhelming while I'm in it and trying to deal with it, and when I'm getting the calls and letters from the bank wanting their money, and creditors and people wanting their money, it feels overwhelming and huge. And the thought of losing your house or going to foreclosure seems just overwhelming at times. But like I said, it really puts it in perspective when my child potentially had a very serious illness. And it's only money, and I can recreate it if I lose everything. So it's just not as important as I've made it out to be. And the energy that I've given it it just didn't deserve all that energy. It is what it is, and it'll work itself out.
Have you reached a point yet where you can look back and have a kind of a good chuckle?
I'm getting there.
Yeah. It's still serious. But we are most comical when we can't laugh at ourselves. And isn't it interesting how we can get buried in trivial things in comparison to life?
Yeah, in comparison.
I
don't want to trivialize anyone else's pain if they're having financial issues, because I've been there and I have had some very low days over the last year.
Yes. But, well said, thank you.
But there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and there are other things that are more important than monetary issues.
Well, it's an interesting, Delph, that these principles are taking root in your life, because they're not my principles. They're principles I was taught in that dark financial moment. And to discover that the majority of the pain experienced in the middle of a financial crisis has little to do with the crisis, has more to do with what our mind is creating in our body in terms of chemical releases and stories we're telling ourselves. We're making bad things even worse than they are, and robbing ourselves of using that very energy to come up with creative solutions. So what you did not share with the group is that you became proactive with a number of these challenges and got them solved. You started thinking about solutions. And you
right.
took care of some solutions, and you got some big ones handled this year. It's awesome. There's still a couple hanging out there. They're going to take a little while to get cleaned up. But congratulations, because you know that not only is that a waste of time in comparison to the value of life, you also know that when you're there, you can't even get answers to those things that aren't as important as life, the financial issues. So those of you on the phone who are struggling with financial issues, we don't want to trivialize, and thank you for saying that, because I started to sound like I might be doing that. They are crushing. They crushed me. They are crushing. But as you begin this process of connecting with a person and using your mind constructively, you'll begin to see opportunities you cannot see when you're in that dark pit. And when you see them and act on them, your circumstances can, in fact, begin to shift. That's what James Allen was trying to say in As a Man Thinketh. Let a man radically alter his thoughts. Get out of that despair. Go into constructive thought processes. And he will be astonished at the rapid transformational effect in the material conditions of his life. That is a true principle. However, we want to wallow in that, and the longer we do, what's the likelihood we're going to solve the problem, Delph?
It won't be solved. It won't
be
solved until you get out of your muck.
Yeah. You get out of the muck. So if you're in that place, come back prepared to next Tuesday night to really take on these thought processes. Let's come with a commitment that the next 6 to 8 weeks, we create a miracle in your life where you get on this phone and you can't wait to share, because you actually did the tomahawk. Not going there today, you started thinking about something constructive, you got an idea, you acted on it, something miraculous happened in your life, something started to turn around, you're having those experiences, and you want so badly to come on this call and share with us what's really happening in your life. That's our objective with the next 6 to 8 weeks as we go through this process. Thank you for sharing, Delph. That was wonderful. Is Therese with us on the line tonight by any chance?
She was, not right at the moment.
Okay. Would you give her a big hug?
Yep.
Yeah, just, this was a great day. Thanks for sharing with us earlier. Well, thanks, everybody, for being on the call tonight, and thanks for those who came on. We have 3 more minutes if there's someone else that would like to share.
Hi, Dave.
Else? Hi.
My name's Lacey.
And hi, Lacey. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I'm actually quite happy to be on the call. I got a chance to talk with Chase, and I got the scholarship, so I'm happy.
Well, Lacey, way to be. First of all, for being proactive in filling out the form and getting it to him, and for responding when he called.
I've never had anything bad happen like what we've heard, and my heart goes out to all of you. But I was stuck in the, well, what am I going to do? What if I make the wrong choice? What if? And so I just kind of, I jumped and said, you know, well, what if something good comes out of it? And I'm so happy I did.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you. I know Chase is on calls tonight because we had those 294 people respond. I think he's still on appointments trying to get through to people. I will share with him that. And did you have a good experience with Chase on the phone?
I did. He was very nice.
Isn't he a great guy?
He is.
I'm going to tell you something about Chase that you didn't know. He came into my office about 11 o'clock this morning. He said, Dave, I'm just having a hard time focusing. I said, well, share with me what's happening. He said at 9 o'clock this morning he got a call from his father, and his little 3-year-old nephew was diagnosed with a tumor behind his eye, and
it has killed
his eye. And tomorrow he's going in for surgery and having his eye removed, glass eye installed, and they're hoping to be able to remove the tumor. And in light of everything we've been talking about today, that's where Chase was today. And I offered to let him just go home. He said, there's nothing I can do. They live in Arizona. He was up here in Utah. There's nothing I can do. I'd rather be here. And I said, then go on the phone. And you know, if there are people, you're struggling with what if, what do I do, how do I do this? Some other people are struggling with financial challenges and other challenges. You know what pain feels like today more than you have in some time.
Oh.
And that's the spirit in which he was making phone calls today.
I'm
to serve people who are in pain.
Put Chase and his nephew in my prayers tonight.
Yes, well, thank you. And I'll let him know that you called and shared with us tonight. Thank you so much, Lacey. And for all the others who are on the phone call with us tonight who took advantage of those scholarships, you're going to be working with a coach for 8 weeks, and we're going to be doing a complimentary session here on Tuesday nights as well. You're going to get a double dose to really take on your lives. So enjoy this process. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a glorious week. Looking forward to next Tuesday night and this very scheduled process. Did I hear somebody's voice?
Yes. I just wanted to thank you for the gift of the scholarships. I talked to Chase today, and I'm a recipient of one, and looking forward to the sessions and changing things.
Wonderful. What is your first name, please?
Mac.
Mac. Thank you, Mac.
You're welcome. And I also had an excellent experience with Chase, and then this evening I also talked with Krista, and both are, you know, fantastic people.
We've got a wonderful staff. It's interesting. If you would have been at our office at noon, you would have watched us reading the scroll together. This staff actually practices what we preach. They don't have a customer service department. Customer service is their attitude. So it's just a pleasure to have them in the office. Just a wonderful energy there. Such a joy to go in there and be with them every day. And thanks for sharing that, and I'll pass that on to the staff. Thank you.
Most welcome.
Anyone else have anything they'd like to add? We've gone over just a little bit. I hope everybody's okay with that. Have a great night. Take on your lives. Read or listen to this piece on connecting with people. Come prepared next week to take this on, knowing that the purpose of connecting with people is to bless the lives of another person. But ultimately, it's yours that's blessed the most as you awaken that divine nature and become aware and remember who you really are, so that who you really are can show up. As Eileen said, she's at the hospital taking care of patients, showing up differently. Something's waking up inside of her. Isn't that wonderful? Well, have a great great night, everybody. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thank you.